Good morning. So thankful that
we get to be here this morning. We're having enough hands sometimes to do everything I need to. It's wonderful to see this good crowd here this morning, seeing some visitors, some people dropping by. I'm so thankful that you're here. So thankful that we get to be together. And I've said it before, I know Mark and I, we were just talking about how much we miss being able to shake hands and fist bump, or elbow bump, hug, all those things, but hopefully we'll get back to that sooner rather than later. For the next few Sundays, I know we have kind of a little bit of a rotation happening, but I'd like to spend some time looking at Joshua, servant leader. We'll spend some time looking the example that he has, that we have, we can learn from him. And we're going to think about words, the words that Joshua was given. Inspired him, encouraged him, and also he was allowed to be empowered and to help and inspire others. And I learned later on that that's considered servant leadership. We know that in order to get others to follow us, we have to provide an example. One of my favorite early jobs I had many years ago, for about a year I was part of the kitchen help down at Barron River State Park. And one of the perks of working there is you got to eat for a dollar. And I was about 19 or 20 years old. So I was growing. I was still growing. I was growing a lot. So being part of the kitchen help, I had total access, unlimited, unparalleled access to the refrigerator, to the freezer, to all of those things. And not just bologna and ham, but high-end meals. I could fix anything I wanted. But one of my jobs is every day when I clocked in, we also had access to free soft drinks. After I clocked in, my job was to flour about 50 pounds of chicken. And we had fried chicken with every meal. And part of my other jobs, I had to get about 20 or 30 baked potatoes ready for the supper meal. And we would feed at that time 400 and 500 people a night during the summer, and bigger crowd, real big crowds on the weekend. But somebody that I worked for was very influential and was a mentor to me, was a guy named Tom. And Tom was the boss. He had the real tall hat, wore the white top all the time, black pants, black shoes. And on his name badge, it had his name, Tom Brown, CEC, on his gold badge. CEC stood for Certified Executive Chef. Now, in the culinary world, he was the real deal. He was at the top of his game. But one of the things that, when it comes to servant leadership, that I didn't know that term existed then, is at the end of the night, Tom was just as dirty as we were. He just had worked as hard just as we were. He'd floured as much chicken as I had, sliced as much roast beef as our lady out front did. And he made an impact on me because it would have been easy. He had the gold badge. It could have been easy. He's certified executive chef. He could have worked 8 to 3, 8 to 4, and delegated everything. But he was always with us until the last pot was put up, after we washed it at night on the weekends when we had big events. And that's always made an impression on me, that some of the best people I've worked for are the ones who are working with you side by side. Not only are they telling you the way to go, but they're also modeling the way to go. And I think about Joshua. I think about how he was given the opportunity. For about 38 or 40 years, he served as an apprentice to Moses. He served in the shadow, you might say. Well, in Joshua chapter 1, we see that there's a change in power. Moses has died, and we see that he is going to be given the opportunity to step up and to lead. And I think right now, as we look in our country, I'm going to try to advance my slides. I try to keep them brief so I don't have as many to keep up with. But I think right now in our society, we're all looking for servant leadership. And that's not just on a national level, but also on a local level. And I think about those who are older than me, we think that our country has never been this divided before. Well, history tells us that it has, been. And people are looking for someone to know the way, show the way, and go the way. You think about during dark times in our country. President Lincoln, he said this, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." Approximately 100 years later, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." C.S. Lewis said, "God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there's no such thing. Joshua understood that in order for him to have peace, happiness, and leadership, he had to do what God asked him to do. You think about his servants like Joshua had an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of other people. So do we. We're servants. Servants have influence. Our influence has an impact. And our impact should bring others closer to Christ, because that's where the true transformation and salvation can be realized. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And I appreciate Jeremy reading that. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Just three, a fact. Three times the Lord charges Joshua to be strong and courageous. Joshua knows he's going to need strength. He's going to need courage to accept this task, because he's going to be leading the people of Israel. Now, you think about us sometimes, and I'll speak for myself. Are we the easiest people to lead sometimes? I'm not. You know, I need to be better. I need to be a lot better. And I think about leaders who are responsible for me. I need to make sure that their lives are as easy as they can be, and not, I shouldn't be a stumbling block for the way that maybe I think, behave, or my attitude. But Joshua, he's going to be given a task of leading some people who may not be the easiest folks to lead. He's got a lot of responsibilities. Verse 5 says, God said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You think about that. As he is, the change of power is taking place. And you think about Joshua, that he hears those words. You think about he has an opportunity to be empowered. When God asks us to do something, he doesn't just kind of throw us out on our own. He empowers us. He equips us. He encourages us because he's with us. If you go to Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, Joshua 9:14 says, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. You think about as servants of the Lord, we want to direct others to Christ. We don't want people to mistreat one another. As servants of the Lord, we want to provide direction to a world that's scrambling, to a world that is confused and heavily influenced by Satan. And I think about what Joshua must be thinking about, living in the shadows for all those years under Moses. And now he's going to be assuming control, the captain's seat, you might say. Had to be overwhelmed, had to be daunting at best. But yet he realized he must seek the counsel of the Lord. You think about, just some quick notes before we hop into our outline. You think about, most of us remember Joshua as a leader, obviously, as the children of Israel after Moses died. He was one of the 12 spies that entered into the land of Canaan. Now, all 12 of them said, yeah, this land is great. This land is what we need. But only he and Caleb are the ones who came back and said, we can do this because God is on our side. Numbers 14:6 tells us that they brought back a good report. But however, Joshua's service to God started early. He was the only other man allowed on Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, and Exodus 32:17. The first mention of Joshua is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, where the Israelites battled the Amalekites. If you look, go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. You think about leading by example. His words inspired, but his actions spoke. I mentioned a gentleman I worked for about a year. He never had to, you know, bark a lot of orders or anything like that. Once you knew what your job was, you just went and did it, because that was the expectation. And also because you knew he was working as hard, if not harder, than you. And I always appreciated that and respected that from a humanity standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, you think about the words that Joshua was given. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this, Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous and courage and good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has equipped Joshua. God has equipped him. He's empowered him. He's prepared him. And he's reminded him that I'm always with you. You think about the strength, how that would improve our attitude and make us courageous, not in a puffed up kind of way, but in a way that we can accomplish what we need to. You think about our world today, this week, regardless of wherever you get your news, you see a lot of people divided. But we know the world is ultimately, regardless of what we see on television, people really do want to get along, I think. People really do want to be united. You think about our community. Our community wants someone to send a message of help and support. You think about the church here at South Green. We have an opportunity to do that. Joshua was given his orders 3 times, strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You think about the assurance that Joshua got to carry with him each and every day. We get to carry that same assurance. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, these are short passages. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we realize that Jesus unites, seeks peace, and encourages us because he has the ultimate message. Matthew chapter 5, we know that most of the time are referred to as the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And you think about those words. Scripture should make us better, not bitter. We think about words that we should use should make us better, not bitter. Words that our leaders in our country should make us united and not divided. You think about Jesus' words. They comfort us. They show us how we're to live each day of our life. You think about the term blessed just for a second. Now, when you think about, and we say that, well, I'm blessed, you're blessed. We obviously mean that in a positive way, that we are in a good spot, we might say. But it's in this sense, it's more than just a term of feeling of happiness, because it really reflects a state of seeking Jesus and being a state of well-being and a great relationship with God. Blessed are those who respond to Jesus' ministry. Blessed are those who respond to those words. Think about the poor in spirit, those who are recognized needing God's help. You think about all of us in 2020, and we've already moved into 2021. Maybe we're dealing with spiritual challenges, emotional challenges, financial challenges, physical challenges, health challenges, and the list goes on and on. But when we seek God, we're pleasing to him because he's the only one that can forgive us and heal us. Think about the meek. Think about words just for a second. The meek doesn't mean that you're weak or you're timid. It means that you're not asserting yourselves in front of others, pushing your own agenda. Because ultimately, Psalms 37, verse 11 tells us that God knows the outcome of the events. He is the ultimate winner. You think about hunger and thirsting for righteousness. God is the ultimate source of real righteousness. And for those that long for his righteousness, will be blessed not only here, but also in eternity. You think about kindness and forgiveness. You think about the merciful to show others also should be shown to them, that we should seek to be show mercy. We should seek to be show kindness. What about the pure in heart? Those that are trying to keep away from the world, pursue purity and uprighteousness, because Scripture says they shall see God. You think about the peacemakers. And actually, yesterday, I think I saw that it was National, I think, Law Enforcement Recognition Day. I think I saw that on social media, so it must be true, correct, if we see it on Facebook and social media. But either way, I like the idea that each and every day we should recognize peacemakers, both in uniform, but also both in the spiritual realm also, because those who promote God's peace receive the ultimate reward of being called sons of God. You think about when we're peacemakers, what are we reflecting? We're reflecting the character of our Heavenly Father. You think about those who are persecuted, those who are treated wrongly because of their faith. You think about God is pleased when we are suffering for His sake. We're seeking righteousness for His sake. You think about when we show that we're valuing what He expects over the world, that we're doing things that He expects us to do. You think about Joshua. Just go back to Joshua for a second. What did he do? He was seeking God's will. He'd received the parameters, his marching orders, we might say, but also he received encouragement. We have an opportunity to embrace that encouragement that we have in Scripture, that we see in the book that's been given to us each and every day of our life as we prepare for eternity. You think, if you go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, you think about Joshua sought the Lord in his youth. Now, anytime you read Ecclesiastes 12:1, we're going to talk about that too. Exodus 33:11. A lot of times if you think, well, I'm too old, that doesn't apply to me, then hopefully we're not checking out. Exodus 33:11 just teaches, it reminds us that Joshua sought the Lord in his youth. Now, I know from a youth standpoint, that's kind of relative. Sometimes, regardless of who I'm talking to, I look at kids and I tell them how old I am, and their eyes just get really huge. I can't believe you made it this far. You know, they're amazed I've lived this long, you know, to kids. But to other folks who are older than me, I get the old phrase, well, you're just a kid, or you're just a pup kind of thing. So it's relative. But spiritually speaking, Exodus 33:11 reminds us, I think, not so much about age, but more about dedication. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. And this message is just not for the young. We see loyalty at a young age. I had a sixth grade teacher, and she was, as we might say, kind of high strung. She used the paddle a lot back when you could use the paddle a lot. But she would always say that you can tell a lot about what kind of adult somebody's going to be in the sixth grade. And I've thought about that a lot, and I believe that to an extent. But the point is that as a young person, we do exhibit traits that will show up in adulthood. And I think about Joshua. He had positive traits as a youngster. He was already showing where his dedication was, and he exhibited leadership even when he was young. You think about our young people today. Don't they need role models more today than ever before in all walks of life? Go to Ecclesiastes 12:1. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" You think about the context in which that's being written or being stated, that we need to make sure where our loyalty is, regardless of our age. It's not necessarily about age, but more about dedication, more about commitment. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. "And he said to them, 'Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?'" That's Jesus' response to his parents who were looking for him. And he was seeking to grow in stature with God and man. But yet, he was about his Father's business. Regardless if you're a teenager, regardless if you're part of the youth group, you're in elementary school, or if you're up in years, it doesn't matter. It's about dedication. It's about commitment. And don't get hung up on the age or the number, because we know difficult days are going to exist regardless of our age. We don't want to end up with a life of regret. We don't want to end up with a relationship that's uncertain. I once saw a quote that said, you know, live a life that is committed to Christ, because when you're old, you'll get to do it again. meaning that you'll get to have memories that, yes, I strive to be committed to God. I strive to be dedicated. I strive to be a servant. So when we're older and we maybe can't serve and do the things that we once did, we can at least be appreciative and thankful that we had an opportunity to serve God while we could. You think about Joshua. He serves others, but at the end of his life, he didn't have any regrets. We'll get to in a minute in Joshua 24. He didn't have regrets when he was old, very aged. He was thankful that he had served God the way that he did. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Think about Joshua demonstrated great faith in God. And when that happens, God used Joshua to accomplish great work. Now, we don't have to be Joshua's necessarily, but yet if we have great faith, then we can be used to do great things in the kingdom. Great not meaning stature, but great meaning effective. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 7 says this: Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit that, to inherit it. You see the commission that Joshua was given. You think the commission that he was given. Because in verse 7, Moses commissions Joshua, but which God himself does in verse 23, or back in verse 7. He says, you shall cause them to inherit that. You think about a powerful statement just for a second. Joshua is being used to accomplish God's great work, which is the greatest work that any of us can do. He had an opportunity to do three things. Joshua had an opportunity to have conversations. He had an opportunity to open doors, and he had an opportunity to point people to our Creator. Well, the good news is we have that opportunity as well. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. We know this is the Great Commission. We too are commissioned. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You think about the three things Joshua had an opportunity to do. We get to do those things too. We get to have conversations with people. We get to open doors, not metaphorically, but from a conversation standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. We get to point people to our Creator. Go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 while you're there. Just flip back just a little. Matthew 17, 20 says, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to your yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, you think about during that time of Old Testament literature, there was a metaphor in Jewish literature for doing what seemed to be impossible. You think about sometimes in our, well, we've witnessed this week, that it seems almost impossible for our country to be put back together. You think about maybe relationships that you've had, that it seems impossible for those relationships to have any kind of reconciliation. Maybe you think about the life that maybe we've lived or you lived. You think about, you know, there's no way that God can accept me. Well, not true, because you think about our Creator, the love that He extends to us, the comfort that He extends to us and encourages us, that even we can, if it seems impossible to move a mountain, but yet with God, nothing is impossible. You think about, we must be concerned, as Abraham Lincoln said, that we are on God's side. Not necessarily that he's on our side, but we're on his side. Go to Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You think about, even in the midst of chaos, you think about in the midst of challenge, in the midst of division, if we will point others and direct our minds to Christ, then we can accomplish anything that God would have us to. Go to Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Luke 21, 19. Joshua dedicated his life to God, and he was able to accomplish great things as a leader. You think about us, if we dedicate our life, we can accomplish great things in the kingdom. Luke 21:19 says, necessarily happen overnight, but you think, in your patience, possess ye your souls. You think about the process it takes for something to happen. It takes a while. That conversion, it takes a while to grow. You think about Joshua. He served for about 38 or 40 years, and it's even in Scripture it says that he was Moses' assistant. So you might think about the term apprentice, that he served as an apprentice for about 38 or 40 years, a process for him to understand what it means to be a servant, for what it means to be God's servant leader. If you go to Mark 8:35, you think about lifelong service. One of the catchphrases from last few years in schools, we talk about being lifelong learners. We try to equip kids to be lifelong learners. And I think that can apply to us as well, that we need to make sure we're lifelong learners. Mark 8:35 says, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That you think about a lifetime, you think about roughly in our society, the average life expectancy in mid-70s, 75, 78, that it takes a while in order for that process to unfold, in order for us to really understand what spiritual maturity is. I even think about the appointment of elders. There's a reason why that God has it laid out that you meet these qualifications, because there's a process involved for when it comes to spiritual maturity. When you think about serving in the church, that it takes a while, and it's not just something that happens overnight. It didn't happen overnight for Joshua, 38 to 40 years. You think about as we kind of think about the three points we begin, kind of a jumping off point studying about Joshua. You think about all the ups and downs we're going to look at that he went through this month, hopefully, and apply those to our life. But ultimately, he had an opportunity to create conversations, open doors, and point people to God and remain faithful, even in the midst of challenges, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of maybe adversaries. And I like to kind of end and think about this. As most of you know, it's what Dr. Burge and I were talking about just a few minutes ago. Does it relate? And it does relate to Joshua. It relates to salvation. It relates to our service. As most of you know, myself and Joe and Daniel, we've had an opportunity to participate in a podcast. I didn't really know what a podcast was. I kind of knew, but I never really didn't know until a couple of months ago. We've had an opportunity to basically to create, have Bible discussions, and that's on all different platforms of social media, internet. It's free, by the way, if you would like to download and listen and learn. And the opportunity is, I think about Joshua, because the goal of our podcast or our conversations is to plant seeds and create conversations. We might say create conversations, open the door, and hopefully point people to Christ. That's all we're after. That's all we're doing. We've had a little fun doing that. We've learned a lot. And already we've had about 7 or 8. Joe has pushed out published our podcast. And we recently received a question a couple of days ago. I thought it was a very good question. We have a website or an email address where you can email questions. And there's this one person, she says, "What must I do to be saved?" That was it. I thought it was a great question. And one of the things, if you listen, Daniel, he always refers to the audience. And, of course, it's just the three of us in a little room up here. But he always refers to the audience as dear listener. He says, dear listener. And I really like that, because it's very inviting. It's very comforting when he says that. But we haven't responded in our podcast to that question, but we did send an email. But Joe just says, this person just wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? And I think about us that already our podcast has achieved, we're working on achieving our mission of getting people to reflect, to think about Christ. And that's the point of every sermon as you get towards the end, is you offer the invitation. And I've learned a long time ago, if one person asks a question, guess what? There's probably other people that's thinking that same thing, but maybe they're not at a point where they can ask that question or they want to ask that question. And I've been that way too, that I really was just a little shy, I didn't want to ask something. And maybe you're sitting there this morning asking, what must I do to be saved? Well, the response is, our God wants what? He wants us all to go to heaven and be with him. And we know that the process is not complicated, but it does take commitment. You think about, what must I do to be saved? Well, we hear the word. That's Romans 10:17. Because where does our faith begin? It comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. John 3:16 tells us at 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You think about repenting, Luke 13:3. Now I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. We know repenting means to simply what? Turn away. It's a U-turn. Turn away from sin and turn towards Christ. What about confession? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And be baptized. Be baptized for what? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The last point, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, remain faithful. You think about Joshua. He remained faithful as an apprentice. You know, and I ask this question, I'm not necessarily of you, but of myself. You know, would I be willing to, for 38 or 40 years, to serve in an assistance role? I think about from a secular, in the job that I work in. Sometimes you can only last for about 4 or 5 years, just from an endurance standpoint. And I can't imagine having to, you know, the challenge it might have been to be that committed, 38 or 40 years as serving in maybe in the shadows of Moses. But Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We know that being in a right relationship with the Lord allows us to have certainty about our destination, but allows us to do great things on earth for God. Go to Joshua chapter 24, two places. You think about, we started out where Joshua was a young man, but as all of us probably at some point looked in the mirror and saw a lot of gray hair, or maybe no hair, or both scenarios, but he's an aged individual at this point. Joshua 24:2, he says, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you think about Joshua, what did he do? He served by example. Who will you serve? Will you respond as we stand and sing?
Jesus, I love you.